and welcome to the Sisterhood of Mommy Imperfect. I'm Mommy Imperfect, aka Rena. I hope you're all doing well. Now, I know things are tough right now, and they're tougher for some of us, but I hope that you're all hanging in there. I am hanging in there by my fingernails. It's actually okay. And to be honest, I'm actually cherishing some of the moments with my kids. Like last week, we took it easy because it was supposed to be Easter holidays, so we had a lot of fun, and I got them to fill in a COVID-19 time capsule worksheet, and it just made me realize like how they really feel about the situation. You know, things came up, like some of them were worried about whether anyone in the family is going to get coronavirus, and just a little bit anxious about things, missing friends, missing school, missing that routine. So, you know, they're going through a lot in their own way. And this week, my kids have actually got work from the teachers given to them on Google Classroom. Now, I'm lucky that my husband is working from home, so he can help me kind of do the whole education thing. He keeps an eye on the older two, and I basically try and keep the little one entertained the whole time away from the other two so they can actually do their work. Now, this week, I've kind of made things easier for myself by not being so fussed about, oh, you know, they all have to be ready at the same time and stuff, because obviously the older two do, but the little one, she's not going to do any work really. So she is still hanging around in her night suit, you know, in her PJs, hasn't even brushed her teeth until after everybody's had breakfast, and then we do like the Joe Wicks workout. She's still in her PJs, and I'm just like, you know what, you carry on, because when those two start work, you're going to go upstairs and I'm going to give you a bath. You can have a nice little play around in the bath and do whatever. And then nobody needs to worry about giving you a bath in the evening when you're really tired. Because now that the other two are at work, at home, she doesn't have a nap now because there's too much going on. So she's getting older as well, because she's three. She's going to be four in the summer. And she doesn't have a nap, but it means that she's very, very tired, like six. And then if she happens to fall asleep on the sofa at 6 p.m, brilliant, you know, I'll just chuck her into bed and she's had a shower in the morning, so it's all good. So that's what I'm saying, I've just made things easier for myself and not worried so much about being so regimented in routine. So one cute thing that also happened was that my eldest daughter and her friends started setting each other homework, because I think they were really missing school. So now I've been roped into this online cooking session for her and her friends. Now, to be honest, I'm quite looking forward to it, because I kind of enjoy making my kids' wacky ideas come true and, you know, teaching them to cook food so I won't have to at the end of the day. Now, speaking of food, the first time that I made authentic Ghanaian food was on the weekend, right? And I made it with my kids. So we were doing this whole kind of thing, like I said last week, cooking around the world. I basically took that idea from my sister. And so, yeah, obviously had to be Ghana, because my husband wanted it to be. Anyway, I made jollof rice, and I used some videos that my sister-in-law sent me of herself making it. And so we produced quite a nice dish, actually. And that's after 13 years of being married to my husband, who is Ghanaian. He was well happy, really. One thing that was a disaster in the kitchen last week was mitichol, zarda, if you call it that. But it's so nice when you get it right. I didn't get it right. I need a video lesson for that. And I miss my nanny so much, because she used to make the best mitichol ever. So I also found this thing called joindiaspo.com. That's it, joindiaspo.com. And that's a website which enables the older generation to share recipes with the younger generation via Zoom. And there's these online classes which you can sign up to, and it's just like an interactive cooking session. So I think that is a really, really good idea. Also, if you need a laugh, then watch Diljit Dosanjh's YouTube cooking videos. They are hilarious. And for more about cooking and food during lockdown, listen to last week's episode featuring Great British Bake Off's Jethna Makan. Learn how to make do with foods that you just end up getting from the supermarket. And by that, I mean whatever your husband brings home from the supermarket. Not because they didn't have it, but because he couldn't find what you put on the list and decided to substitute it with something random. My husband bought back 1.5 kg of peppers from Asda. I didn't even know what he was substituting, but it must have been something because peppers were definitely not on the list. Like, we even had some in the fridge already. But anyway, we're going to be eating a lot of peppers this week. This episode, however, is all about burning off all that food and all that banana bread that everyone is apparently eating, and, you know, eating the right things. And I'm going to be talking about how to keep yourself and your family healthy and active during lockdown. So I caught up with the Indian body coach, Jaggi Sidhu, a few days ago, and we talked about how to motivate yourself and your kids to be active and what you can do if you don't have much room, and about his new book also of healthy Indian recipes. But first, I wanted to find out what other parents have been doing to keep themselves and their kids fit during this time. You might recognise this next voice. It is my sister, and this is what she has to say.
Hi everyone. So as it's lockdown times, me and my husband and my two daughters have decided to keep fit every other day in the week. We're doing high intensity workout for half an hour in the morning. I'm not going to lie, it's my worst nightmare and I hate working out, but as a family, we've decided to keep healthy, so we all motivate each other to do it, and it's good for the kids, and it's nice to do as a family, but I'm not going to lie, I hate working out, it is a nightmare for me, but it's only half an hour, and it is family time as well, in a way. So we'll see how long that lasts, hopefully it will.
I feel like that too sometimes, and this morning I went for a run, right? I ran for about 20 seconds, and it took every muscle in my body not to do a U-turn and run straight back home. I just wasn't feeling it, right? But I forced myself and I ran for 30 minutes and I did feel amazing afterwards. Right, let's hear from Reva on what she's been up to.
Hi, I'm Reva, I'm 38 and I have two children. And I have never ever been good at any kinds of sport, and that never has never really bothered me. But during this lockdown, when I realised how I literally was just moving from the kitchen to the main room to the bathroom, and like the amount of steps I was doing in a day was like less than 100 a day, I realised that I really needed to do something for my sanity and my fitness. So I downloaded this Couch to 5K app, which basically is a training program that you do for people like me who spend a lot of time on the couch. And basically within 9 weeks, you should be able to run for 30 minutes, which is about like a 5K at not a massively fast speed, but it means a consistent running speed. So I decided to do that with my son, who's nearly 9 years old, because also I felt like it was a really good way of him exercising as well. And it's a safe way to exercise during the lockdown. You know, you go out, you don't touch anything, you run, you come back, and it uses some good energy as well. And because it starts at a really simple pace, like for example, in the first week, we were literally running for 1 minute on and then 1 minute off. It's something a child can do and a massively unfit adult can do as well. So basically, actually, in terms of our fitness levels, they were pretty much the same. Or actually, he was better than me. So now we're in week 5. So we're running for like 5 minutes on, then a bit of a break, then 3 minutes on. And so it's like 5 minutes on and 3 minutes on. And it's really good fun. And we have some really good laughs. And at the end of it, we motivate each other. And at the end of it, we give each other a high five. And we're like, come on, we're doing this. And, you know, we're really motivated to get to week 9 where we're doing 30-minute runs together. And I am like the most unfit person on the planet. And I was like, I'm going to be the person that can't do this, that this app doesn't work on. But so far, guys, so good.
I think that that is a lovely way to share an experience with your child. And what I've been doing in terms of fitness is I try and wake up about 6 o'clock in the morning, about 4 or 5 days a week. The other days, I'm just too tired. But I try and work out before everyone else is up. And that is the thing that helps me to get through the days. Personally, you know, I know that I've done something positive for myself mentally and physically. In terms of the kids, we do the Joe Wicks workout in the morning. And sometimes when the kids get a little bit bored of that, we do yoga for kids from YouTube. And we all do it. Even my husband joins in sometimes and I do it with the kids. So the kids have carried on with their Taekwondo lessons via Zoom. And they're actually doing more of those lessons that they normally actually would, which they sometimes complain about, but we just kind of ignore the complaints. And then afterwards, they always say that it was a good lesson. My eldest daughter does football coaching on Zoom, which is led by my brother-in-law's football coaching school called Kakoa. And he also does classes for adults too, which is really good. We do skipping competitions in the garden sometimes. I take the kids out for 20 minutes on their bikes, just around the street. That's our kind of daily outside exercise. And we have this big tree in the street with a swing on it, and they cycle around there and will scooter around, and they go on the swing. And we do go when it's nice and quiet and when the weather is nice. And I think my kids prefer doing that rather than going on walks. And walks can be a little bit stressful sometimes, you know, when you've got three children, and my youngest one is quite, she doesn't listen because she's 3 years old. She wants to stop and say hi to people and stroke their dogs. So yeah, it's not great. But let's hear from the professionals now. Have a listen to my conversation with Juggy Sidhu, the Indian body coach.
So how are you doing, Juggy?
I'm okay. Sorry, I think I've got the wash machine on in the background. Should I turn that off, or is it quite audible? I don't want it to be a home.
I can't hear it.
Okay, I'll leave it. If it gets really loud, just let me know.
Yeah.
And I'll sort it out.
At the moment, I can't hear it. I mean, I was just going to apologise in advance if you hear screams from the children. I mean, they're in a different part of the house, but you know, they escape, so.
Jessie, my wife has just taken the boys out for a quick walk.
Okay.
I thought it'd be the perfect time to kind of get this.
Yeah. No, that's good. Yeah. How old are your little ones?
4 and 1.
Four and one. Okay.
Really loud. How about yourself?
So mine are 11, 9, and 3.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah. So
quite spread.
Although the older two are like only 18 months apart, really. Yeah. So I had a gap because I couldn't handle another 18 month gap. It's quite as you know, two little ones is quite full on, isn't it?
Absolutely.
But yeah. Busy house.
Yeah, I can imagine.
As yours must be as well.
Yeah, you know, like, I'll tell you, like, this has probably been one of the most difficult times to kind of adapt to, you know, with the whole kind of, both of us work, so we've both got kind of full-time jobs, then we've got the kids, and then the expectations from the school to just continue education, and it's like, how do you fit that into two full-time jobs? And then, you know, trying to look after ourselves, trying to go shopping, spending like 2 hours, 3 hours going shopping these days because you want to go from different store to store and queue up and all that sort of stuff. I think it's just been absolutely mental, but I think we finally found a bit of a routine now. So fingers crossed, it carries on.
So what do you take turns to kind of spend time with the children and then work? Is that how you manage it?
Yeah, essentially. So because obviously I work for myself, if I don't work, then we don't earn, so it's like I've got to be switched on. But what I've tend to do now is I'll get up at 5 a.m. I'll do my exercise and all that sort of stuff, then the kids tend to wake up about 6, half 6, so then I've got them for the morning bit, so Jessie can do her work, and then then Jessie takes over and I work, and then we do a little bit before bed once we've got the kids to sleep. And but it's like the working day now starts at like 5 and can end at like 10 or 11, whereas we used to have that bit of time to just have a bit of downtime together. We haven't really got that now, but it's just about managing, really.
It is. I mean, it does sound like that you're a good team, though, which is good because, you know, not everybody has that. Mm. Not everybody. Some people are on their own, aren't they? And
Or,
you know, they don't have that unit. So that sounds like it's a good place to be. I mean, I count myself lucky as well because me and my husband do like share all the responsibilities and he works from home. So we're in the same boat as you guys, and it is quite tough. So are you in the fitness industry full time now?
I've been doing this for 11 years. So I've been coaching people, doing one-to-one work since uni days, which was like 2008. Yeah, 2008 to 2011. So I've been doing this for a long time now.
You call yourself, or you're known as, the Indian body coach. So just for people that don't know, just tell us a little bit about what you do and why you're called that.
Okay, so you know what, this is quite a big question, because I could give you a bit of an insight into like why I became so focused on nutrition and everything in the first place. It started when I was about 9 or 10 years old.
Like, oh wow,
this is, yeah, it really does go back a long way. So my dad has always been my hero. He's been like my superhero since I was a little kid, you know, with most boys looking up to their dad. And when I was about 9 probably about 9 or 10, my dad fell a bit ill. So he was getting really run down, really tired, really lethargic. And it got to the point that we didn't know what was going on. Like, he was a pretty fit and healthy guy.
Yeah.
I mean, he was working in Oxford at the time, and we're based in Coventry. So you'd travel, you'd drive down there every day. You'd come back, probably spend about, I think that was about leaving the house at 3, 4 a.m. in the morning, getting back about 6, 7 p.m., playing with us in the garden, marking our homework, doing all that sort of stuff. And then suddenly there was a time frame where he just started to fall ill. And it was like, well, what's going on here? Like, this really fit and healthy guy isn't able to do what he was doing before. Then he got told that he had type 1 diabetes, which was like late onset. And it come about, it's an autoimmune condition. It had come about through basically stress, like the amount of workload he'd got under. He was stressed. He was having to like look after us all and do all the kind of homework and all that sort of stuff. And he would just take all this burden on as a guy and be the breadwinner for the family. And then obviously it all caught up with him. So ever since then, I've been so kind of focused on nutrition, because then you start to realize what an impact like health has on an individual, and then the impact that nutrition has on an individual. And it's like, it's so crucial to our lives. So that's why I became so heavily invested in it. Mm-hmm. Like, you can imagine, we went from eating like normal foods and stuff like that, and then suddenly my mom was baking all these different recipes and low carbs and all this sort of stuff. And you become hyper aware. So then that really drove my kind of like love for nutrition. When I went to university, it was more like performance based. So it was kind of bridging performance, nutrition, and a bit of health. But it was only after that I've spent, don't tell my wife how much I've invested in my education. She'll probably kill me. But if she knew how much information I actually have kind of gathered, how many courses I've been on, and how much kind of I've invested in my education to just learn about how to apply what I know about performance nutrition to real people that need it. Like, that's really kind of where I'm at now. Like, I'm bridging the gap between all the science and all the information to real people, families, you know, mothers, fathers. These are the people that I really support. And it's just bringing that information to like help our community. So people always think that, you know, the body coach thing is just about obviously training and exercise and maybe a few meals or meal plans, but it's not. It's about understanding something I call the triad of health, which is like physiology, psychology, and our physical health. So this is the three P's of health. So that's what we really focus on. And we've got kind of experts in each field, which work with our clients to really get the best out of them and optimize their health, but also educate everybody along the way. So this is our kind of, you know, USP almost, especially with Indian diets, Indian culture, Indian society, all of these different pressures that we have, like, you know, without even realizing it, we have
pressures.
So yeah, that's kind of what I do, and that's kind of like where I'm at now, coaching real people for real results, for sustainable results, and just cutting out all these rubbish things that we see constantly peddled in this industry, like supplements, like stupid workouts that don't really make any sense, that injure people, that impact people. And you know, how many times have you come across a fad diet that maybe works for 6 weeks, but then ruins somebody's health long term?
Like,
their health. And that's really what I'm trying to fight against now, and just giving people that education about what to do for their families, for themselves, long term.
Yeah. And I do love the fact that you are catering towards Asian people, because it's like, you know, some things are not going to work for us. You know, even I look at things like, oh, okay, this looks really good. It's a bit of asparagus wrapped around goat's cheese and this and that. I'm like, my family is not going to eat this. And, you know, like, a lot of us live in extended families, or even like our own kids, like they wouldn't really do that. And you don't want to be making like 5 different meals.
So interesting that you raise that. I had this conversation yesterday with a client, and she was like, finally, she feels that she's managed to integrate the whole family into this approach. They don't even realize that anything's changed, that she's on a diet or anything like that. But before, she's done that where she's been making herself a meal, her husband a meal, her kids a different meal. And how overwhelming is that?
It's too much. It's too much. And I think a lot of the time that is why people give up, because of, it's just too much food prep, and it's just all this stuff which you've never used before in your life. You've got to go out and get all the stuff. And, you know, as you know, in this time, like you said, it's like, it takes hours to go shopping.
Yeah.
No one's got time for that. So, yeah, I mean, I do really, I think that you have really filled a niche that needed filling, because some things just they're not going to work for our families, really. So yeah, and another thing I was going to say is we've got several more weeks of lockdown, right? And you know, people have been binge watching Tiger King, been there, done that, making banana bread, lazing about. But how do we motivate ourselves and our families, our kids, to get up and get active? How can we do that? You know, because it's not easy sometimes.
I think it's always, you know, like from my perspective, it's always like taking a step back and having that self-awareness. So having a self-awareness of how we feel on a day-to-day basis. So if we've spent 2-3 weeks just, you know, lounging around, not really doing much, we've probably started to feel that low energy kick in. We've probably started to feel like maybe we're sleeping in a little bit longer, or maybe it's more difficult to wake up in the morning, or maybe it's getting a little bit more difficult to walk all the way up the stairs without the legs burning and stuff like that. So it's just building that level of self-awareness first, what feels uncomfortable for us, and then deciding, well, what are the steps that we can take to obviously change that situation for ourselves? So if we know, for example, that getting up the stairs is actually starting to become a bit of an issue and we're getting breathless and our legs are burning, okay, we probably need to start doing some sort of aerobic activity, some sort of cardiovascular activity. That doesn't mean having to run miles and miles and miles on end. It's just, well, small things. Like, for example, the kids and I, we go in the garden, we go and kick the ball around, we go and run around, we go chase. It's all fun, it's all activity, but it's something we can all do as a family too. I don't know if you've seen the kind of home workouts that we do as a family too. Like the
I have, yeah. Ball. I have, you and your wife and the kids.
Yeah. The thing is, like, me and Jesse will start doing that. We'll start exercising. We do this like circuits every week. And then the kids really like it. So they will start squatting next to us and doing bear crawls and all that sort of stuff. I just love it because our kids really look up to us. They, you know, we are their role models, you know, and we want to set that right example. And I think that's for all of us. If you think of it, why do we all work so hard? Like, why do we go to work? Why do we put ourselves in uncomfortable positions where we're having to do like long hours, stressful jobs and all that sort of stuff? We do it for the family. We do it for the kids. But I think we rarely ever see that same thought process towards health. Like, we always think, okay, I need to earn for the kids. I need to provide for the kids. I need to give them opportunities. I need to give them the, you know, the finances to go to university or buy a house or buy a car or get married. But if we had that same focus and passion towards, I want to impart health on my kids, then we start to change our thought process towards activity and nutrition and lifestyle changes and habits.
Yeah, totally. So how can you kind of encourage kids though, who are, they feel that pull of the iPad and the TV and, you know, I don't know. I mean, there's certain things that we do with our kids, like the Joe Wicks workout, you know, that that's quite a big thing now. So we do that with them, but what else can people do just to kind of get kids, especially like some kids might be like moody teenagers and they might not be so happy about jumping up and doing Joe Wicks. I just wondered if you had any other ideas of how to get those kind of kids off the sofa.
Yeah, I think always, you know, communication is key. Like with our kids, communication is always going to be key. Even as, you know, my little one, 4 years old, like I'll ask him, what do you want to do? Like, what would you like to do now? So we've got a really cool thing now where we do a bit of homework, or we do a bit of work, whatever it is, education. And then after he's hit a certain point, like an agreed point, then we'll go in the garden, kick the ball around, play, do press-ups, do jumps, whatever it might be, and then we come back in. Mm-hmm. For teenagers, obviously, it's a little bit different because I think that pull of the technology, that pull of the iPad, it's a little bit different. As a parent, I'm not there yet. Yeah. So I think I find it probably a little bit, I'm probably not the best person to advise on, this is what you should do. But hobbies are a really, really important thing. Like hobbies, family activity. Like for kids, when they get to the teenage years, I remember when, as a teenager myself, football was a passion of mine. So just having a little ball around the house, you know, like a little foam ball. Like we used to have like little dribbling games, little passing games. We used to set up little mini goals and me and my brother used to play against each other and stuff like that. And it's fun and it's exciting and it's a little bit different. But I think, you know, parents getting involved in that activity is crucial.
Yeah, absolutely. No, it's true, because I think I've seen with some of my like older nieces and even my eldest daughter that, you know, sometimes they think they're too cool for this kind of thing and then they join in and they kind of enjoy find it quite fun.
So totally. We've got a dance class tomorrow. a live dance class.
Oh, so, wow, where?
Yeah, well, we're doing it via our Lean Indian Academy, the members area.
Okay, yep.
But we're opening it up to people, but it's like we're doing dance as like a form of activity, a form of cardiovascular work. But the reason that I put that on, it's like, I know that not everybody likes to just do these star jumps and press ups and burpees. Like Bhangra dancing is so energetic and you get to enjoy yourself. You get to express yourself. And yeah. I can't dance. I cannot dance. I've got two left feet, but I'm massively putting myself out of the comfort zone tomorrow and I'm going to do it. And hopefully we'll have a good turnout for it. It'll be good fun.
No, that sounds really good. See, this is what I'm saying, because some people are like, no exercise, not for me. But yes, something like this, it would appeal to more people. Yeah, I really like that idea. Also, not all of us have big houses, or there's a lot of people living in the house. It's quite crowded. They need to find that space for themselves. Like, what can people do where some, you know, where they don't have that much space?
Yeah, you know what, like if you've got a small amount of space in like a bedroom, let's say, you can do like half press up. Well, if we go into like more exercise, you can do things like half press ups, like burpees, sit to stands. You know, like a really, really difficult exercise, if you want to give it a go, it's like just sitting down and standing up 50 times, but do take like 3 or 4 seconds to come down.
All right. Like,
I want you to try that later.
And so you're using the muscles, I guess, yeah?
Exactly. You're slowing things right down. And again, it's really impactful. It really does have a good effect on you. And it gets that same impact that if you were going to a gym and training, you'd still feel the same way. So it's nice to feel that way sometimes and push yourself out of the comfort zone. But there's loads of different exercises you can do in one space. In fact, I'm going to release a video tomorrow on my Instagram, again, on the Indian Body Coach page. And it will be like an exercise that we've done in the space of like probably the length of a bed. So if you've got a length of a bed, you can do it right next to it. And I'll send the link over so you can have a look.
Okay. So you've got a book coming out, haven't you? Am I right?
We have. Yeah. So the recipe book, it came out last week. Monday. Mm-hmm. It came out on Monday. So it was on my birthday this week. We released the recipe book.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
But it's more than a recipe book. It's basically making like Indian cooking simple. It's calorie controlled. It's macro controlled. And I think the funniest thing about this was we've sent it out there and we've got feedback already. And people are saying, like, there's this one lad, he's like 23 years old and he's never cooked in his life. And this is the first time he's ever tried it. And he cooked it and then he gave it to his mom to try. And she was like, this is amazing. This is like real cooking. This is like a real Indian dish. And she got so excited because this is a 23-year-old lad that's never stepped foot in a kitchen before. Mm-hmm. So it's really like what we've done with this is we've bought like the family meals, like family favorites, and we've brought it to, you know, real people again to just give it a go. All the recipes only take about 20 to 30 minutes to cook, and you're making it either for a whole family or you can refrigerate it and use it for the whole week. And like I said, it's all calorie and macro controlled with high protein content, vegetarian meals and non-vegetarian meals. So it ticks off so many boxes. But I'm really, really proud of this. I'll give you a bit of a background behind this as well. So my nanny passed away on Friday.
Oh my gosh, I'm so sorry to hear that.
It's okay. I think like we're all kind of like dealing with it in different ways as a family. But the recipe book itself, my mom and my nanny had a massive input in terms of like how we came up with the recipes and like how we detailed them out. And you know, like Indian cooking, nobody actually weighs what they put out. It's just like chucking in loads of things and it always comes out amazing. But my nanny was doing that. My mom was looking at her, watching it and seeing what was going in there. We kind of estimated the numbers. Then we tried it and then we trialed it and then we trialed it. We kept going back and forth until we got it right. And then we kind of like started formulating it. So what actually is it in terms of calories and proteins and carbs and fats? Because you know what everyone says, like Indian food is so unhealthy and it's so bad for you.
I know. I find it really annoying when people say that, actually. Yeah. I think they're just thinking about chicken kormas and stuff, really, I think.
And some of the things that people eat, and it's not real authentic Indian food, like what we cook at home and the quality of the ingredients that are going into that. So powerful. We're not just talking like the antioxidants. If you want to just ignore all the kind of micronutrients, but just think about it in the macronutrients perspective, there's so much protein that does go into our dishes, we don't have to use as much oil as is made out. And that's what we tried to do in this. All of the recipes are oil free, so people can add it if they want to, but then we've taught people how they can add it and what that does in terms of the impact on calories and macros. Because if you think about, you know, losing weight and getting healthy, like calorie deficits people talk about a lot. And what we're doing is we're showing people how to achieve calorie deficits, what their food actually consists of, and how it's a high protein diet if you eat Indian food. And it's like breakfast, lunches, dinners, snacks, all incorporated within the book. And like, for me, this is almost just like an ode to my nanny. Like, everything that we've seen, all the feedback that's come back through, it's like just a dedication to my nanny and everything that she brought to the table with her life, let's say.
Yeah, well, no, that's beautiful, because it's her legacy, really, isn't it? That's part of her legacy that you're carrying on.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. And this is the thing, like, the, you know, my mom, she, you know, she's had a tough year, because my nana actually passed away earlier this year as well. So she's had a really tough year. But my mom's already, like, you know, we're starting to get to grips with what the next one's going to look like and put new recipes in place. And again, we're just breaking down loads of barriers, but it all goes back to, you know, I wouldn't be in this position doing what I do today if it hadn't been for my nanny and my nana and my bibi and my papa coming to this country and forging the path for us. So everything we're doing together now is just, like you said, it's part of their legacy.
Yeah, absolutely. No, that's the smart. I'm sure they're super proud of you as well. Okay, so listen, just lastly, where can people find more information about you, and where can people get your book?
Yeah, I think the best place to find information about me, I post a lot of information on Instagram at the Indian Body Coach, Facebook as well, Juggy Sidhu at the Indian Body Coach, or if you want to read blogs that, you know, you want to get a little bit more like in detail with the stuff that we do, juggysidhu.com is the website. But yeah, I'm always happy to have a conversation. If you want to DM me, message me on social media, more than happy to have a conversation.
Mm-hmm. And where can people get your book?
So the book is actually via my Instagram.
Right.
So if anybody wants to look at the recipe book in more detail, yeah, it's all on my Instagram as one of the links on there too.
Okay, cool. And I just want to say thank you so much for giving me your time. Honestly, I like what you're doing, and I also feel like, you know, I want to just talk a lot about family and kids and fitness, because I think I just lacked a little bit of motivation when I was younger. When I was a kid, I didn't really do much exercise, and it's only becoming an adult that I realize how important it is. So, you know, somebody like yourself, I just really value what you're doing, and keep going. Well done.
I really appreciate that. Thank you so much for your kind words.
Please do check out Juggy on Instagram. He's got some really good information on there. And of course, a link to his new book. Someone else who I follow on Instagram and actually know in real life from another era, when I was a co-writer, director and producer of a play called The Fifth Cup. And she was an actress in the play. This is Barine Byron. She's doing really well as a personal trainer and fitness instructor now. And here are her tips for staying fit and healthy during lockdown.
Hi, my name is Parveen, and I am a personal trainer. I am also called Personal Best Fitness, and you can find me on Instagram. I have a few tips that I could possibly share with you guys, and I hope it helps you all. So tip number one, have a routine plan. So what I mean by that is have a routine plan of sleep. So kind of know, don't try not to go to sleep too late, go relatively early. I'd say before 11 p.m. if you can. And also wake up before 11 a.m., which is a great time to also wake up because you're not too fatigued mentally. That really helps. Also, tip number two, make sure that you're doing, I would say, at least up to 30 minutes of exercise a day for a minimum of 4 days a week. Now, that could be whatever you choose to do. It could be walking, jogging, some yoga, a bicycle ride, anything that you feel comfortable doing, but as long as you're doing something mobile. Tip number three, definitely eat your five a day, every day. You could present that however you wish. It could be a fruit platter in a smoothie. You could put it in a smoothie, or you could have some for breakfast in a bowl of oats, which is great. Tip number four. So this is a good one, actually. So set self goals, okay, on a weekly basis. Now, for example, if say you're somebody who's not getting much mobility, not moving around much, so you need to get that going. So I would say go for a walk. Okay. So as for example, I put down, I'm going for a walk on Monday, and on Monday I'm going to burn 100 calories. And then on Tuesday, I'm going to go for a walk again. I'm going to burn 150 calories. And on Wednesday, I'm going to go for a walk again. And this time I'm going to burn 200 calories. So you get the gist. It can vary. I mean, you may even have a break between Monday, Tuesday and Wednesday and go on Thursday instead of Wednesday. Oh, you might just go on a bike ride. So it's a little bit different. But each down to your own discretion. So you can go however, wherever, as long as you're doing something. Okay, where are we? Tip number five. So finally, obviously being a female, your maximum calories a day of intake are 2,000. So in these 2,000 calories, you could actually begin to plan a food diary for yourself where you can focus on reducing your calories on a weekly basis so you're not overeating. So you know how we can overeat because we're binge eating, because we're very relaxed, we're in our home, it's a very comfort zone, and you naturally, it's very subconsciously done actually, you don't even realize that you've eaten, I don't know, three biscuits, and normally you wouldn't even have one because you're watching what you're eating, but it obviously changes a little bit when you're in the house. So something like that would be really handy to do. And then the next point, which is, where are we, point number six, tip number six, change your position. Yeah, really important. Again, so what I mean by change your position for self-isolation is maybe move around a little bit the house from room to room, maybe go upstairs, go back down again, go into your lounge, walk around into your kitchen for a little bit, go into your garden, maybe your front if you can. If you're living in a house, you can go in your front garden. So just doing bits and bobs by keeping your mind stimulated because you're still working and moving. And that's, again, essential for this type of situation that we're in at the moment. Okay, the last tip, and not by means the least, change proportion of food. A really, really helpful one. So what I would say there is, you know how when you're going to bed at night, sometimes if you have a heavy meal, it's not great, really, because you're going to go and sleep on that. Again, it's not a fantastic idea. So what I would do is have a bit of a heavy breakfast, and then for lunch, have a nice, wholesome, balanced lunch. And then for dinner, have a nice balanced lunch, dinner again, but make it a little bit lighter perhaps. So not too heavy on the carbs maybe. So it's not too heavy on the stomach and you won't be feeling so sluggish afterwards. So keeping it nice and basic and healthy. And that was my final tip for today.
So some really good tips there from Praveen. Lastly, I wanted to hear from my friend Liz, the lady behind ElizabethStoutHealth.com. Now, you might have heard her on the podcast episode that I did about post-pregnancy bodies and getting back into shape. This is what she's currently doing and her advice to families who want to stay fit and healthy during the lockdown.
Hiya. So my name is Elizabeth and I have two children, two girls, 10 and 8. I am a health and wellbeing advisor, so I have had to adapt lots of things over this period, lockdown period, to adapt to keep fit myself and obviously keeping my clients fit and healthy too. And so there's lots kind of going on. With my current clients, I've then made, we do online sessions so that I can retain my clients and my clients can still get something out of it as well. And for those of them that don't have access to internet, as in terms of like online platforms like Zoom, for example, and they can only use their phone where there is such a small screen, I've then done some stuff on YouTube too. So I've kind of got a mixture of things. I think the main key thing is making sure it works for you. What works? What is doable within the scale of things that you have in front of you and what doesn't. So partly this is some of my work. I am actually working. And so therefore, you know, that takes precedent and priority. Likewise, the children's learning and when they're online and not online also. So, but I need to be aware of what's still going to work into the schedule. So it's just mapping out. I think the first key thing is mapping out loads of things, what's going on, and having a clear structure so you can see then see where the gaps are, and then see what you can fit in and what your interests are. So finding an exercise program or yoga or something, whatever it is that you that fascinates you and you enjoy doing, then you can then squeeze that into the program. I think trying something new, if that's what you want to do at this period, then try something new too. Having a key interest in the fitness or relaxation into the field, having a passion for it, will help you stick to a routine and effectively be healthy in this period of time.
I think Liz had a really good point there about doing what works for you and finding gaps in your schedule to fit that activities in and making them activities you actually find fun. So you can find out more about Liz and some of her YouTube stretching videos. Her YouTube channel is MC Elizabeth Stout and her website is elizabethstouthealth.com. So the last thing I want to say in this episode is don't put too much pressure on yourself to get up and start marathon training or anything, yeah? Do what you can and aim for small bursts of activity. And if you've been eating too many random snacks, don't beat yourself up about it because, you know, I mean, half the world is doing that now. If you're being active, then you're burning off those snacks anyway. And just remember, you know, tomorrow is another day. It's another opportunity to do something positive for your body and your mind because it's all connected, and to put something good in your body. And I think as a parent, you've got little eyes looking at you all the time. Even when you think they don't notice, they do. And if that's not enough motivation to get your shit together, then I don't know what is, right? When they've gone to bed, you can sit there slumped on the sofa with tea and biscuits or something stronger. And, you know, cry about how crappy COVID-19 is. But in the day, we have to hold it together. We have to try and be that example, even though it's quite hard sometimes. I hope you enjoyed this episode of The Sisterhood of Mommy Imperfect. I'll be back with another episode next week. Join me again. Until then, stay safe and try your best to stay fit and healthy too.